Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, so today our mission is pretty clear. We are tearing into The Fate of Ophelia. It's the first track, the big opener from the new album, The Life of a Showgirl.
Yeah, and it's a powerful start.
Definitely. We need to map out the story here, the themes, and, you know, what's this whole historical tragic thing the title points to, what's being escaped.
Well, I think what makes this track so compelling right away is how it dives into these huge contrasts. You've got, like, deep isolation versus this almost violent rescue,
mm-hmm.
and this crushing melancholy versus, well, combustion. It's all about escaping a destiny that felt, I guess, unavoidable.
Okay, so let's set that stage. Verse one kicks things off, not with the protagonist's quiet suffering, but with the arrival of the rescuer, this pyro.
Yeah, the calling on the megaphone person.
Yeah, and they're immediately flagged as quite the pyro, someone who likes to light the match to watch it blow.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that tell you about the dynamic right out of the gate?
That it's going to be high risk. Definitely dramatic. This isn't a gentle hand reaching out. It's an explosion.
So before this pyro arrives, what state is our protagonist in?
The lyrics are pretty explicit. Intense suffering. I might have drowned in the melancholy.
Mm.
She feels like she was already going under.
Already sinking.
Exactly. And just before this intervention, there's this flicker of self-preservation, right? Swearing loyalty to me, myself, and I.
Trying to hold on, maybe, build her own little fortress.
Sort of, yeah. But it's immediately overwhelmed. This external force just arrives and, as the song says, lit my sky up. You can't really fight that.
You know, that image is huge, and it connects perfectly to the chorus, doesn't it? This idea that she sat alone in my tower.
Classic isolation imagery. Trapped.
Well, the rescuer, the pyro, was out there just honing your power, like they were preparing for this exact moment.
It feels very intentional, not accidental. Like, the power was being focused for this specific dramatic purpose. The rescue.
Okay, let's really get into that chorus then, because this is the core moment, the intervention. And the language is, well, it's stark. Late one night, you dug me out of my grave and saved my heart from the fate of Ophelia.
A grave. Not just a metaphorical bad place, but a grave. It implies the situation was, you know, beyond saving by normal means. Critical doesn't even cover it.
It shifts the rescuer from just like a love interest to something more profound. A savior, almost literally.
Absolutely. A deliverer from, well, from death or something very close to it. And a rescue that intended. Demands an equally intense response, doesn't it?
And we get it immediately. The loyalty pledge is just total. Keep it 100 on the land, the sea, the sky.
Everywhere. Every element.
It's not halfway. And it extends beyond the person. It's allegiance to your hands, your team, your vibes. It's like joining a whole new reality.
Yeah, stepping into their entire world. It's complete immersion. And the payoff, or maybe the consequence, is immediate too.
Wait.
The line, it's about to be the sleepless night you've been dreaming of. That intensity. That lack of rest. It's framed as desirable.
So the thing she was actually longing for in that lonely tower wasn't peace, but this all-consuming fire.
It seems so, that the honed power of the pyro, focused directly on her, is exactly what she needed or wanted, the end of isolation through combustion.
Which brings us right to the title phrase, what is this fate of Ophelia she's been saved from? And the song actually tells us, which is brilliant.
It does. Verse 2 gives us the song's specific definition, which is key.
How does it define her?
As the eldest daughter of a nobleman who lived in fantasy. So there's this suggestion of maybe innocence, maybe detachment from reality. Romanticism, perhaps.
But it wasn't just living in fantasy that doomed her, according to the song. It's more specific, right?
Very specific. The downfall comes because love was a cold bed full of scorpions. That's quite an image.
Chilling.
Yeah.
And then the venom stole her sanity. So the fate she avoided, it wasn't just drowning in sadness. It was madness brought on by toxic, deceitful love.
Exactly. That changes everything. The danger wasn't just melancholy. It was, as the second pre-chorus says, lingering in purgatory. This state of prolonged suffering caused by betrayal. Cold betrayal.
And the rescue is the opposite of cold.
Completely. It's being pulled into the fire.
Yeah.
Trading that cold, venomous deception for, well, for the heat and volatility of the pyro.
Okay, but that sounds risky too, right? This pyro figure. The imagery around them in that second pre-chorus is really interesting. Wraps around me like a chain, a crown, a vine.
That's contradictory, isn't it? A crown is status. A vine implies growth, life. But a chain, that's confinement, restriction.
So why are they all presented as equally saving or desirable?
That might be about control. maybe the chain, the constraint, is seen as necessary. Like, it holds her, keeps her from falling back into that Ophelia state, that cold poison.
So she accepts the constraint, even embraces being pulled into the fire.
It seems like an acceptance of the trade-off. The Pyro's nature, even the potentially destructive part, is the force needed to counteract the previous state. It's choosing fiery containment over cold dissolution.
Wow. Okay, then we hit the bridge. And this feels like where the relationship really cements itself, locking down that past trauma.
Yeah, the memory, the near drowning, the deception, it's now locked inside.
And the key.
Only you possess the key.
Yeah.
That line. It's an incredible statement of dependence, of trust, maybe even surrender.
Total vulnerability. Giving someone else control over your deepest pain.
It confirms how essential this savior figure has become. The past isn't erased, but it's contained, and only this relationship keeps it that way. And this leads to that powerful resolution.
Which is?
The simple statement. No longer drowning and deceived.
Ah, right. It directly answers the two threats. The drowning melancholy and the venomous deception. The escape is complete.
It really seals the narrative arc. What strikes me is that this whole story rejects quiet healing or gradual recovery. It's all about this massive external force intervening.
A radical intervention. Seizing control of a life already heading towards destruction.
Yeah, choosing this intense, potentially voluble passion over that lonely, drawn-out suffering.
So if we boil it down for you listening, the fate of Ophelia isn't just a song title. It's a averted destiny. It's this declaration of absolute loyalty across land, sea, sky to a figure who is powerful, dramatic, maybe even dangerous.
A figure who offered combustion, not comfort. Shattered the isolation, shattered the deception, rewrote the ending.
The Ophelia fate here stands for that specific kind of suffering, paralyzed by betrayal, drowning in lonely sadness.
And it's overcome not by finding calm, but by embracing this high energy, maybe unstable, pyro passion, trading cold death for hot life.
That trade-off, cold for hot, feels central. But it leaves you wondering, doesn't it? Considering those vows, your hands, your team, your vibes, accepting the chain.
Mm-hmm.
What's the long-term cost? When you're saved by a force described as a pyro, someone who likes to watch things blow up, is that rescue sustainable? Is it a happy ending?
Or is it just the start of a completely different kind of intense story? She embraces the chain, the crown, and the vine. That complexity suggests the journey isn't simple, and maybe it's not over.
A really provocative place to end it. Something for you to definitely think about as you listen again. What kind of fire has she been pulled into?
Exactly. What comes next?
A great question. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.